Welcome to Pink Kink,
where we talk about the pretty, twisted side of kink.
I'm Princess Rara.
And I'm Dara, the Electro Khaleesi.
Whether you are a new kinkster or have years of experience, Pink Kink will help you level up your kink knowledge.
Join us on this journey as we talk about our personal experiences and use the knowledge we've gained over 28 years of being involved in both private and professional aspects of this lifestyle to help you explore every facet of kink.
Get set for an adventure. Not only will you learn and grow, but we promise loads of laughter, turning each episode into a fun party. So fasten your seatbelt and let's get this show started. Pink Kink runs off the generosity of our devoted patrons.
As a patron, you will become a member of our special Discord server, receive some adorable Pink Kink stickers, as well as have access to a monthly behind-the-scenes podcast. Patrons also get discounts at our Etsy shop, Pink Kink Boutique, and our online classes at Pink Kink Institute.
In addition, our impactful and electrifying Pink Kinksters get special audio and video episodes. And finally, patrons at our highest tier will be recognized as producers, both here on the podcast and on our website.
If you would like to become a patron, you can visit us at patreon.com/pinkkinkpodcast or click the link at pinkkinkpodcast.com.
Today's episode is produced by our electrifying Pink Kinksters. Thank you, Jay, Witcherman, Brianna Lynn, Daddy Jay, Fabe, Embers, Blossom, William P., Claire, Lady Blooding, Naughty and Nice, Butte Pain, Manda Panda, Cat, Stefan, Shadow Phoenix, Voldy, Christopher, Kilted Sir, Brian, May Cry Devil, Ruby Riot, Mistress Velma, Enchanted Sparrow, The Wombat, Impact Hazard, Twitch, The Midnight Girl, Sinful, J21, Daisy If You Do, AK Harley Chick, Violet Rain,
Serenity, Belle, Eric, Lady Affliction, Dr. Dave, Pumpkin Pie, Ms. Tourmaline, S'more, Hacksaw, Wee Mad Beastie, To Be Better For Me, 3AM Thoughts, Forest, BP Bryn, Crash Override, Kinky Bear, Barbie, Navigator Bard, Frost, Sinful and Naughty, Coffee and Chaos, Noir, Haley's Comet, Mr. Pillsbury, Peaches, Mighty Owl, Princess Sassy Pants, Lady and Lex, Chaos Monster, Kristen, Casper, Hazel Page, and Jessica.
I'm gonna whisper because I don't want to wake Dar.
What? You make it sound like I'm a Kraken.
No, it's just because you've been sleeping because you've got dungeon hangover.
I really do.
Poor Dara. Dara's been to the dungeon twice this month, 2 weeks in a row.
That's a lot.
That's a lot for Dara.
Actually, it was really funny because last night everybody was like, Dara, what are you doing here? This is not risque. I'm like, I know.
But Dara came out because we had friends in from out of town that Dara had not had the privilege of meeting in real life yet.
Nope.
So she dragged her poor, sorry, tired butt out to the dungeon for an extra visit. And that's just a lot for this little girl to handle.
I cannot handle it. But it would be fine if we weren't recording. It would be fine. Because then I could just sleep. But no. No, we have to record.
Okay, but did you have fun?
I did. I really did.
Was
it great.
Worth it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always worth it. I just need the recovery time is like, I'm
harsh.
Tired.
It's harsh.
And it's getting worse the older I get. Every week is harder.
Fuck you. You're a goddamn baby. You did something the other day and my eldest was standing next to me and I went, your other sister just really pissed me off. He goes, my other sister? I said, yeah, my other child. He goes, you're the child that said Dara. Because I'm old enough. I'm literally old enough to be your mother.
You are physically, yes. However, the fact that you always refer to me as your little sister, so I would be his auntie.
I guess technically, yes. But at that moment, I was like, I felt like I was dealing with one of my kids.
What did I do this time?
I don't even remember.
Okay.
I think it was probably more like you were asking me some information. Like I had to help you with something, like I do with my kids.
What?
Because you send me texts like, I can't do this. How do I do this? Where do I find this?
Not normally. I only do that if I seriously can't find something. I'm a millennial. We research shit.
I'm just going to agree to disagree with you on this.
Look, I don't go to the tech guy at work unless it's like an absolute fucking emergency that I cannot figure this shit out.
Okay.
Whatever. Once you figure out what it is, let me know, because I'm too tired to think right now. That may also have been the problem, just being too tired to actually think.
So why don't you share about the fun that you had last night?
I took Amity Malcolm's electro virginity last night.
You did.
And I learned something last night.
What did you learn?
I learned that I'm going to have to add yet another question to my spiel in the beginning of every electro play session.
Okay.
So I learned, and this is like indirectly related to Amity. So normally when somebody comes to my table, I ask three basic questions.
Right.
Do you have any battery operated medical devices inside your body? This includes things like pacemakers, what is it, insulin pumps, a couple of other things that are absolute no-goes, right?
Yeah.
And I also say, do you have any metal inside your body, period, because surgical stuff. So like 15 years ago or so, they made the switch from using stainless or surgical steel in screws, plates, all this stuff that when you have surgeries, they changed it over to titanium. So titanium is not conductive. Well, it is barely because it's a metal, but it's like the least conductive. But stainless or surgical steel is kind of conductive.
Right.
Not like horrible, but it's there. So we always ask that. And, you know, if they say, yes, I've got piercings, I'm like, that doesn't count. And then the other question is, are you pregnant? Because obviously don't want to fuck with the electrical systems of that. So no. That's also a no. And the funniest one I ever got in response to that was, no, but I'm breastfeeding. If I do the electrical play, will it curdle my breast milk? Yeah. That was my reaction too. I was like, no. No, it won't. You'll be fine. That's not how electricity works, but thanks.
That's how any of this works.
Oh my God. Anyway, so last night, so a couple of weeks ago at Winterfire, we learned that I'm not going to, I don't know how to say this without like blowing up somebody's spot here, but suffice it to say, over the last several weeks, I have learned that one of the reasons that people can be hyperconductive and sensitive to electricity is they may have POTS.
Okay.
So POTS is a fainting condition. I'm not going to get into the whole medical of it right now, but, you know, you faint. And
I think it has to do with like circulation and blood pressure and stuff
like
that.
I'm not entirely sure exactly what it is, but if you have it, it's a fainting thing. So the way to help with this, to treat it, is to have a very high sodium diet.
Okay.
Sodium makes you more conductive because sodium, saline, is very conductive. So I'm messing around with Amity last night, and this chick cannot feel shit. She was like zero level conductive. I had to minorly brand her in order for her to feel it. And she's like, I'm saying this is what a tattoo, it feels kind of like when you get a tattoo. And she's sitting there like, no, it doesn't. This feels like a kitten licking you. Bitch, what? What are you even... Then we had somebody else sitting next to her, and I can't remember her fet name for the life of me right now, but she'll know who she is. Just sitting right next to her, wearing like really cute tights, like lacy tights, and we put the blanket on, and I would literally go from Amity to this other girl, like, and just the screaming that was ensuing. People were coming over and watching her, and then I would put it back on Amity, and it was like nothing. So I got out the tinsel. I started draping it over everybody. Cindy came and joined us. So I had like this nice little pile of people and tinsel going on. It was great fun. And two other girls showed up and I'm like, hey, you want to join us? I did my spiel. And they were screaming just as much as this other girl. And then Amity and Cindy were like, oh, that's really nice. I like it. Oh, it's so nice. And Kiki joins us and whoa. And it was interesting because they were like, well, why isn't she feeling it? I was like, oh, she's like not sensitive to this at all. She's like really not conductive. You guys seem to be really conductive. And I said, I've got a friend of mine who does this and she has POTS and they're hyperconductive. And they look at me and they're like, oh yeah, we both have POTS too. And I went, do you compensate for this by having a high saline diet, a high sodium diet? And they're like, yeah, we do. I was like, ding, 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 ding. So now I have to add this to my repertoire of questions.
Well, I'm assuming you do. Do you have any medical conditions, right? But you don't specifically say POTS?
Or? I say, do you have any heart conditions? I've never specifically said POTS.
Right.
But I don't want to ask somebody, do you have POTS?
Well, then just say, do you have any medical conditions? And then you actually could do, do you have any medical conditions such as heart, POTS? And like kind of give a list so right. You're not necessarily.
But like, okay, so like battery operated medical devices. I also, the metal in your body also is phrased specifically. It's not just for surgical. It's for the IUDs. Remember that incident?
Oh, yeah.
So like phrasing to be more encompassing.
Well, that's like when I talk to people, when I do needles, my answer, I always ask, do you have any medical conditions that would affect your clotting abilities? Because I don't necessarily need to know about other medical conditions, just the ones that are going to affect your ability to clot.
So, I specifically need to be like listing examples. Like, do you have any medical conditions that would be affected by electricity?
Such
heart
as?
Heart condition, pregnancy, POTS.
Yeah.
Big three, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there was a lot of sound effects coming from your little corner of the world.
And it was all her.
Pretty much.
Yeah. All of it.
Well, and I have to laugh. You're not even mentioning where were you situated for this?
Okay, so there's a reason for that. I was next to the medical play area. However, I was on the floor in front of this big giant barrier that was not see-through. So there was no way for, and my back was to it. There's no way I would have been able to see it.
The place was packed. I had told Dara, because this is an event she doesn't normally go to. And I had said to Dara, it's not that big. Except last night was huge, like the most we'd ever had. Somebody came up to me and said, they only have 7 wristbands left. That means 7 more people, and they're going to close the doors and won't let anybody else in. And I've never seen that happen before with that many people and a ton of newbies.
So many.
So I ended up, you know, part of what I do at this particular event is to be a friendly face. So I just go around and just, it's really hard work for me. I just go around and talk to people.
Yeah, that's so tough.
I just literally walk up to people and go, hi, you having a good time? So I ended up spending less time doing that and more time going, could you please move? You're in this scene. Or I'm going to just move your bags over to the side because these bags are blocking things.
Walking through there to try and go get something else from the changing room was a mess. It felt like going through risque.
Mm-hmm.
And there were so many, like, let's call them big radius scenes,
mm-hmm.
flogging, whipping. There was one guy who was whipping on the dance floor and you could not go anywhere on
Rob.
The dance floor.
Yeah.
Was it? I didn't see who it was.
I know him. Yeah.
I was flipping past really, really quickly. But like, I was just like, are you serious? Like, this is a zoo.
You would have been so proud of Hot Asian Guy yesterday. Well, first of all, because I walked up to him and I said, did you see Dar's here? Dar's actually here. I go, I'm sure she's going to want to introduce you to the people she's with so she can say, this is Hot Asian Guy.
Yes,
and
I did.
He looked at me and he goes, she's already done that.
I did it in the changing room. Yes. When we first got in there.
But then I got to meet a lovely woman who was his partner for the night, mm-hmm. doing a scene with him. And she's like, oh, my God, you're Princess Rara. I went, yes. She goes, oh, I love the podcast and we're talking. I guess my whole Brat versus Sam opinion really resonated with her. And you'd be very proud because Hot Asian Guy said to her, you know, Dara's here too.
Oh, she didn't come over and say hi.
Sorry.
He didn't bring her over. So now Hot Asian Guy is in trouble.
Can't win with you, can
no.
you?
No. Actually, he was super cute. Last night, he came over and like kind of like squatted in front of me and was doing one of those like arms hanging to the side things. I was like, I'm so tired. And I just was like, I picked up his arm and I held it up and then I dropped it and he almost fell over.
Well, it was a wonderful night. I did have a very fascinating conversation with the gentleman who talked to my boobs.
What?
Now, I will granted, it was a very revealing outfit I had on and my boobs were out there.
It was a fantastic outfit, first of all.
Thank you. So I do understand. And as I was telling somebody else, look, they're out there. I don't necessarily get offended that he spoke to my boobs. I think what bothered me more is if he had at least split it up. Sometimes my face, sometimes my boobs, not pretty much the entire time looking at my boobs. But the other interesting thing is, and this is my little tiny soapbox, which has nothing to do with the episode and everything to do with just kink in general. My tiny soapbox, people, when you meet kinksters out in the wild, like a dungeon, don't make assumptions.
Oh, hell.
So first of all, he and I were talking, because again, part of my friendly face, we were talking about things that we're looking for, because I had said to him, so what are you looking for tonight? What do you want to do? And he's like, he goes, well, I know what you're into, and points it at the breasts that he'd been speaking to all night that are covered in bruises. Well, number one, the bruises were not from impact, which is what his assumption was.
They were from the needles.
They were from my needle play the week before.
Yeah.
But he also assumed, because I had bruises, that I must be submissive.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, Rara, did you hurt him?
And I didn't. I couldn't. But I figured he was going to get hurt enough because the guy was really there just for sex. And he was a little disappointed that he was having a difficult time finding women to have sex with. I'm like, you're at a kink club, and it's not that sex can't happen here, because
there
it
was
absolutely
plenty
does.
Of sex happening last night.
But all the sex that was happening was pretty much people who had come together, already established partners, not, hey, want to fuck?
Did he think it was a swinger event?
I don't know. But I did see him later find somebody twice. So, I mean, he was hot. And he had quite the six pack, which was very lovely to look at. So I was able, if he was going to stare at my boobs, I was staring at a six pack.
Okay, well, fair enough.
That's what I thought. And there's a difference between staring at a six pack and staring at genitals. But anyway, but my little thing is, don't make assumptions, people.
How did you fix that?
Well, I just said, these? Because he almost touched them. Like he reached out, almost touched them. Which I did have a few people last night touch my boobs.
Including me.
Including you. But I'm talking about people who don't necessarily have that type of relationship that I would expect them just to reach out and touch. Now, they weren't strangers. They were people I did know, just not necessarily people that I would have said. And again, I think people made the assumption because they were out there.
Yes.
That you can touch.
Well, I mean, I made the assumption because I literally have permission to do so.
I could be wearing a turtleneck.
And I would still,
and you'd still touch them. So, but I...
What do you want from me?
Listen, they're out there. Do you know how many people, because it was so crowded, how many people I bumped their arms and shoulders with my boobs? Because to get past and through the little spaces,
yep.
My boobs are bumping into people. They're
that
big and the space was that small.
Yep, there was a lot of people.
But I just explained to him, I said, these are not from impact. He's like, really?
Oh my God, did you tell him?
I said, yeah, they're from needles. Then I was talking to another guy a little bit later. And we were again talking about the bruises.
Mm-hmm.
Because he looked at me and he goes, oh, you look like you had a good time. And I said, oh, these are from last week. I said, I did 200 needles. He goes, oh, that was you? He had been there last week and he had remembered the scene.
There were people last night actually that did not recognize me from Risque the week before, literally. They had been on my table and did not remember who I was.
Silly people.
Well, it's because I looked dramatically different last night than I did from the week before.
It's hard for me to say you look like you. I don't even think twice about it.
Because you have seen me in that makeup and that hair before.
The only thing to me that was different was not the makeup, was the hair.
I've worn that to Risque before, though.
Then what? Why? What didn't they recognize?
I don't know.
It wasn't the exact same as last week.
It wasn't the same as last week. I had really different makeup. I had different hair. I had the falls in, so it wasn't my hair.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really different. And then I had, I wasn't demoing. So they had no idea who I was.
That to me is more likely what they were thinking. You weren't behind the table demoing.
Right.
Yeah, there was another electro demo there.
It was photogenic.
Night. Yeah.
Yeah.
So photogenic, I didn't realize that was photogenic, because I've seen photogenic in a very different setting.
Mm-hmm.
Blood play.
Yep. She does a lot.
Yeah. She's pretty cool.
Yeah.
She's just very versatile. Good blood play.
Very versatile. She's the one that did the electro rope class a couple of years ago for Winter Fire. So
I was able to do, so I did impact scene on Amity, which was a lot of fun. And we discovered what she likes and what she doesn't, which is most everything she likes.
She was saying that. by the way, she has something to tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I should say it because I don't want to take it away from her.
Okay.
But she has something to tell you.
Okay.
And I'm going to make her say it in the chat, I think.
All right.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Anyway, we should get going because we're going to lose a lot of time here on the episode.
Chatting. All right.
Yeah. Well, we do that.
Well, we'll start off with when I approached Dara about this subject.
Oh, God. Why are you already putting me on the spot like that?
Because this is your kerfuffle episode.
I'm so excited.
I was coming up with different ideas. And one of the things that we have a list of potential ideas.
Yeah.
And one of the things on the list is 1950s housewife, which is a kink that a lot of people have.
It's a kink I have.
And recently, I've seen it a lot in the news. It's a big thing on TikTok, was the trad wife dynamic.
The rise of the trad wife.
And so I reached out to Dara and I said, all right, here's one of the episodes we'll do next week. The rise in popularity of the trad wife dynamic. And her response. Good thing I did tell her in person, but over the phone. So I could just pull the phone away from my ear when she started yelling. Apparently, Dara has a lot of opinions on this particular.
This should be called the Dara's Opinion episode.
Dara's Kerfuffle episode, for crying out loud. But we're going to find out what these opinions are, how strong these opinions are, what Dara likes and doesn't like.
So, have I told you any of it yet? Or
no,
have you?
Okay. I won't let you tell me because okay. I wanted all this to be fresh and new to me so I could react appropriately.
You want it natural.
I wanted it natural.
Yeah.
So let's discuss exactly what the trad wife dynamic and the whole 1950s lifestyle is. And I learned about the 1950s long before trad wife. So 1950s lifestyle is basically going back in time to a more traditional period where, you know, the husband went to work and the wife stayed at home. I mean, think Leave It to Beaver. She cooked in the kitchen wearing her pearls and her dress.
I prefer I Love Lucy.
That too. But Lucy had a lot more attitude than June Cleaver.
Lucy was sassy.
Lucy was very, she's a redhead, honey. You got to be careful.
Hence the reason
redheads.
I identify more with Lucy. Also the Cuban thing.
Okay. But well, she wasn't Cuban.
No, she's not Cuban, but her husband was Cuban and they had a lot of, yeah, whatever.
Well, had a lot of Cuban.
There was a lot of Cuban going on in that show. Yes. So I actually, okay. Yes and no. I was watching a little thing of it last night where Ricky was telling Lucy, we're going to have this marriage exactly the way that we have it in Cuba, where the man is the head of the household and the woman does what she is told. I feel like this is very appropriate right now.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, okay. And he says, now go get your coat. And she goes and leaves the set, comes back. Wait a minute. I'm like, God damn it. Yes, go Lucy, which was like the entire point. But that's what I'm talking about. This is why I say I'm Lucy.
See, don't you know the whole thing? The man is the head of the household, but the woman is the neck.
And the neck turns the head. That's from My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Yeah. Well, I had a whole funny conversation last night about with Amity and Ms. Malcolm about the Jewish woman being in charge. I wouldn't do well with a 1950s dynamic as the submissive. Now, I could have a wife to make her do all these things for me because I don't like to do the cleaning or the laundry or any of that stuff.
Yeah, well, once I was, when we were watching Mr. Wonder Woman, I was like, yep, nope, that's my ideal relationship right there. I would be Elizabeth and then I would have Daddy Jay and then somebody else. I would totally do it.
So somehow the 1950s household has been reinvented by, how do I say this in a polite, kind manner?
Dumbass evangelical Christians.
Yeah, that would be it. And it's now become something called trad wife, which stands for traditional wifehood. And it refers to a lifestyle where women embrace the traditional gender roles within a marriage and family. This involves prioritizing homemaking, child rearing, and supporting their husbands in their careers.
What? Right? Yeah.
So in recent years, this has become a thing. I think as the whole, I'll get the kerfuffling started because
I already started it. Dumbass evangelical Christians.
If you all people don't fucking know that I'm obviously a goddamn liberal here. and only vote blue, then you haven't been paying attention to anything that's come out of my mouth for the last 3 years.
So I think she speaks for both of us.
So I figure you guys are not going to be surprised by any of this. I think as our country, the United States, for those of you who aren't here, has, I don't want to say split because I don't think it's 50-50, but has divided into an us versus them.
And them.
And the whole thing with Roe v. Wade.
I would like to refer to them as the backwash of society.
The whole thing with the Roe v. Wade being undone and the Republicans versus the everybody else. The Trumpsters versus everybody else.
Because, okay, it's not all Republicans. Some of them are just conservative fiscally.
But this is, listen, I find the people who are like this are usually Trumpsters, which is why I'm changing it from Republicans to Trumpsters.
Yeah, no, it's just, it's the Trumpsters, Trumpets.
Yeah, there's been a definite noticeable resurgence in the popularity of this tradwife lifestyle. And despite the advancements in feminism and gender equality, women are embracing traditional roles. Now, here's what's really stupid. I came across a TikTok that has, I'm surprised you might not have come across it because it got stitched by 20 million people. This young girl who I'm sure identifies as a trad wife, even though I'm not sure she's married, does this whole thing about I'm anti-feminism because.
Oh, yes. Like the 20-year-old who doesn't have anything yet.
I wouldn't do this or I wouldn't do that, but I would do this and I wouldn't do that because I'm anti-feminist.
I won't wear pants because I'm not a feminist.
Yeah.
Fucking what?
And then if you watch all the fucking the stitches, everyone's going, sweetie, the only reason you can do that is because of feminism.
Right.
Because we fought. So you have that right to make that choice.
Every single thing she said was feminist choice. We have said this so many times. Feminism is not, I will only wear pants and not dresses. Feminism is not, I will only be a lawyer, a doctor, a super high paid corporate position and step on men. That is not what feminism fucking is. It is simply, I want to have the choice, the opportunity, the availability to go to college, to become a doctor, to become a lawyer, to become a CEO, or to stay home and work on a farm. Who the fuck cares as long as it is your choice?
Right. Well, one of the things that has happened with feminism that's actually not necessarily the most positive, but I just think it's because as everything, we screw everything up. The rise of feminism and then this whole push for gender equality has sort of reshaped all of society expectations. And it's empowered women, you know, to pursue careers outside the home and work and all that. And let's not even talk about the financial pressures of I don't know who the hell can exist on a one
There's no way.
Salary.
There's no way anymore.
But we've all been stuck with this having it all mentality. You can have it all as a woman. You can be both a homemaker and work outside the home.
Which honestly is not as easy as you think.
It's not as easy. Balancing work and family, I will tell you, I've run into it multiple times. I remember when I was pregnant with my first child and my boss thought I was quitting. And I looked at him, I said, I'm just taking the 3 months maternity leave that I'm
entitled
to by the company. He's like, oh, you're coming back? Like, he just wasn't expecting that. I'm like, I'll be back. I had to.
Yeah.
But, you know, the demands of modern life, including the long work hours, the pressure to succeed. Unfortunately, we're still dealing in the workplace with being a mother and any of the responsibilities that come with that. Your bosses don't necessarily like that.
Right.
And you would think if you have a female boss that it would be better, but it really isn't with some of them because they're like, well, I do it, so you can too.
Well, it really only works if you have a partner that is also work-life balance. If you have a partner that simply goes to work, comes home, and sits on their ass, and then you have to come home and do, you know, from a 40-hour-a-week job, and then come home and do another 40-hour-a-week job, it ain't going to work.
No.
It only works if you have two people or more, in the case of the relationship, who balance it at the same time. And here's something I really feel like we need to point out. It hasn't been brought up. I'm not sure if it's in your notes, but it's something that I really feel is important. The 1950s housewife stereotype is really only for white women.
Well, yeah.
Is that because in the 1950s,
only white women had it,
had that privilege to be able to even stay home. Every other race was expected to go to work, then come home. And in the case of, like, have you seen The Help?
Yes.
Yeah. They worked as maids. They worked as raising somebody else's babies in that movie and then had to come home and do it all.
Yeah.
And it's a privilege kink.
Well, it's a privilege kink, but it's also, I mean, it's total fantasy. Like, did you know that it was only in the 70s that a woman could actually open up a bank account and get a credit card?
Yep.
That's not that long ago.
That's my mom.
It's only 50 years. That's yep. it. That we could do this. It's just, it was a different world. You could exist on one paycheck.
Well, like I said, my mother put my dad through college, bought their house with her money because she was working as a damn secretary right. and still managed to put my dad through.
Well, because prior to that, secretaries were men. So you had to make the salary enough for the man to support his family.
Well, then my mother definitely got paid significantly less than men.
I'm sure she did. It's but still like, the case. We still make, what, 60 cents to the dollar?
Yeah. No, 80. It's 80.
Oh, we're up to 80? Ooh, now. Progress yeah. is being made.
What is what year was Mad Men? That was the 70s, right?
No.
60s?
60s.
Okay. Maybe even less. Maybe it was like late 50s, early 60s, I think, to start. And that was when the women all started becoming secretaries, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense. But, yeah.
But 1950s, I mean, it's a fun idea. And I think I just don't think it's realistic. I mean, it's great. You're going to pretend you're in the 50s, but yet you have the right to vote and you have the right to have a credit card and you have the right to have a bank account.
And wear pants in public.
And wear pants. And I don't know too many women are in the kitchen cooking wearing pearls. I don't know too many women who own pearls.
I know I have pearls that I'm inheriting, but that's about it. But see, to us, when you say pearl necklace, it means something completely
totally different. But I think a lot of this new trad wife resurgence is coming about as a reaction to this fast-paced and high-stressed nature of modern life that we're in. And women are thinking that if they can embrace these traditional roles within the family and create a sense of stability, like, life will be better. Now, some of this is cultural, right? Different cultures are more about the wife being in charge. Like, what's interesting, for instance, in Judaism, okay? We always talk about that we're a very matriarchal society. When it comes to the household, we're in charge. Now, and again, I am not talking about the extremes, the ones, the Hasidic and all that. That's different. But just your standard Reform, conservative Jews, the women are in charge. Mm-hmm. We run the household, and that includes the kids. And in fact, we are responsible for the kids' education until they're 13 and become, quote unquote, adults, at least especially the boys. And then that's when the dad can take over. I'm actually curious of how trad white, I would imagine, you know what I want to talk to a sapphic couple who does trad wife, or a homosexual couple that does a trad wife husband. I don't know what the proper terminology is.
What is the proper terminology if they're...
But I'm just trying to think, like, is this a dynamic that pretty much exists just within heterosexual
yes.
couples? I mean, it's certainly, the trad wife does, but the 1950s household.
No, so the kink can exist with whoever.
Well, yeah, but...
But the trad wife is only heterosexual cis. That's what they are insisting on. So, like, Michelle Duggar. That.
No, she doesn't raise her own kids. Her kids raise her kids.
Yes. Parentification is beautiful, but sarcasm. Should I start ranting now, or are we saving this?
I figured you're going to rant throughout the whole thing. I figure you're just going to be ranting the whole time.
So let me start this off. I watched a TikTok this morning. I literally was like, I'm going to get ready. I was like pumping iron, you know? And I hit trad wife on TikTok.
Ouch. Yes.
Now, first of all, first one I watched was a parody, which I goddamn love. I think they're hysterical. So you have this woman in a long flowing dress who says, it's a long flowing blue flowered dress.
And she says things like, When my children woke up this morning,
they wanted cereal.
Oh no, no, this one doesn't. They wanted, and she like mentions this long, complicated thing. And I know what it was. It was like one in particular. She goes, "My children asked to have lasagna tonight, so I went ahead and I made my own mozzarella and I made my own noodles."
It's her. It's the same one. Yes.
But so it's a parody, but it's really, the whole point is she's cooking and it looks delicious.
She's amazing. I want to eat
this. But yeah, it's a whole running joke as if this is what everybody does.
So with her, it's actually a cooking channel, but she does it in Tradwife style to capitalize on that. But it's literally a parody. So the one that I saw was, "My children wanted Cinnamon Toast Crunch cereal for breakfast, so I woke up early and I made it." And it's like, okay, you made it. You poured it into the bowl, right? And you poured milk on it. No. This woman fucking made from scratch the dough and then baked it and then cut it into little squares.
Right, so these poor kids, it's like dinner time by the time they get to eat.
Yeah, she started breakfast at 5 a.m. and I think they had breakfast at like 9 a.m.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it was the funniest fucking thing ever. But like the style that she does it in is, it's a parody of this, but it's really cooking is all. Yeah. So first of all, I love her content. She's hysterical. There's another one that I was watching where she's blonde and wears hair clips and the manicure, and she also homeschools and she's wearing this long dress, and the homeschooling is feeding the chickens. They're also homesteaders, so this one is really good. So today we're learning how to feed the chickens. So I brought my 2-year-old and my, I don't know, infant outside, and we dipped our hands in the bucket and we spread the chicken feed around and we watched the chickens and made our observations. I'm like, is this legit? Like, is this? I couldn't tell. I honest to God could not tell if it was a parody or if it was like, that's what she thinks education is. Now, for a 2-year-old, sure, that could be right. But then we did our numbers and we sat down in our little room for school. I was like, what? What the hell is happening? But here's the one that really got me.
Uh-oh.
Little blonde, 1950s hairstyle with the poof in the front and the flips in the back, right?
Yep.
Wearing the pearls and the dress and the whole
everything. Oh my gosh, she had pearls.
Yeah, no, she did.
Okay.
Yeah, she did the whole thing. "Trad wives submit to their husbands" was the first line. Okay, that's a kink. Good for you.
Yeah, none of these people will admit they're kinky. They're vanilla.
That's a kink, honey. Yeah. Submit, literally, that's kinky. However, if your husband is submitting to your husband is evangelical, because if you were really kinky, you would have said, "I submit to my master. I submit to my daddy. I submit to my mistress. I submit to my dom." I whatever you want to say. And then she goes, "Trad wives don't buy $8 lattes. We make our own at home." Great pitch. So do I. Who cares if you want to buy an $8 latte? First of all, they're not $8. And second of all,
actually, they are.
Are they really now?
Yeah. Well, it depends on if you get like the oat milk and stuff.
Oh, well, see, I would have to.
Yeah.
But I also make my own because I can. And it's fun. And I like doing it. And I like adding all the different flavors. And I don't have time to go to Starbucks all the time. But who the fuck cares if that's what you want to do? We live frugally. Okay, great. Some of us can't do that.
And is this by choice or because you don't got the money?
Right. Because her house was definitely frugal.
Was that sarcasm?
No.
Okay.
Her house. This is not the Mad Men makes a lot of money, can afford this shit.
Right.
No, it was not. This was, you can't afford daycare, so the wife's staying home and you live in nothing. I mean, no shame to that, but it didn't feel like it was a choice.
Well, my problem with it is that you can make that choice, but don't get on your high horse like your choice is better than my choice.
Don't push your choice on other people. That's something we should have learned in history already, guys.
Based upon recent events, we didn't learn nothing.
We didn't learn shit. All right, so don't shame your husband. Lift them up. Fucking that's a kink. That's a kink. And guess what? If you're kinky, the other partner is also lifted up. Believe in better or worse, not divorce. Problem.
Know any person who goes into marriage going, all right, in about 3 or 4 years, I'll get divorced.
Oh, yeah, that's what I like to do. I'm on my third husband. I just go through them, you know?
See, I went through two and I said, next time I'm a widow.
That's what Daddy J.
Which is why nobody will marry me.
No. Well, are you going to be a black widow? Because that sounds like you're just going to kill them.
I worked with a woman who I called her a black widow. She'd had five husbands. The first four had died. And then when the fifth one got cancer, I looked at her. I said, are you fucking serious? I go, when are the cops showing up at your house to question you?
Legit. It sounds like a Law and Order SVU episode. Okay, so here's my question. You believe in better or worse, not divorce. What if he beats you? What if he rapes you? What if he does all the other shit that abusive people do? You still don't think you're going to divorce them? Clearly not. But then that's abuse. That's literally abuse. And you still can't. I was abused. I went to a Catholic priest. I said I want to divorce my husband. And I couldn't wrap my head around this because Catholic. And they were like, well, if he does it again, then you can divorce him. Excuse me?
I had a similar interaction with my rabbi and my first husband, who was like, is there any way that you can forgive him?
This is why I don't do religion anymore. Why should I have to be raped twice to get consent from the church to leave? Once is enough, babies.
Yeah.
Once is enough. Anyway, hair, makeup, all of that is done all the time. You wear dresses over pants. You make nutritional meals from scratch. And you have dessert every single night ready to go for your husband. Okay, that's a kink. That's kinky. If you're doing this because you choose to, fine. If you're pushing it on somebody else, not fine.
No.
Just admit that it's kinky.
Here's the irony of it all, right? So a lot of what's been behind the popularity is the role of people like these TikTokers and the platforms like Instagram and TikTok and YouTube channels where...
But it's all fake.
Hold on.
Okay.
That's not even the point, whether it's real or not. That's not my point. Showcasing the trad wife and all of this. But here's an interesting point. It's monetized. They've turned their traditional role into a fucking business. So guess what? They have a job. They are making money, which means they're not a trad wife.
So that right there is actually, so like if they're being serious and they are actually trying to be a trad wife and it's not just some sort of parody bullshit, then the what is that called? The disconnect, there's a word for it. It's
hypocrisy?
It's not hypocrisy. Like it is, but it isn't. There's a special word for it. Not dysmorphia. There's something. Anyway, it'll come to me at some point. But like, how the fuck do you go out and promote all of this? I don't have a job. My husband takes care of me. And you have a job that is probably more time consuming and takes more effort than what your husband does.
Well, it becomes a lot of that stuff has become the family business, though you don't necessarily see the husband behind it. But who's recording them? Who's doing the editing?
I don't know.
Like, it's not like you just do it and put it up. I've seen some of these trad wife videos. There's a lot of behind the scenes editing that goes into putting these things together. And if they're going past like a TikTok and going onto YouTube, where it's a 30 minutes an hour show, that means there's a lot of work that's been put into it.
See, to me, and that just, once you hit that, that's just acting. That's creating a story and acting.
Well, this is the problem. It's idealized portrayal. It's not idealized portrayal. God, I can't speak. I'm tired. Where you present this idealized version of this trad wife lifestyle, and you're showing these beautifully curated homes and these delicious home-cooked meals, and always clean and happy children.
No.
I'm sorry, I'm a mom. That ain't fucking happening.
My mom was stay at home for a good long time after she had my brother, and like, she was bored to tears.
Listen, I'm a Gen X kid, so my mom also stayed at home, and I had to fend for myself.
It was the worst of both worlds.
Mom was off with her friends. It's like, go.
Yeah. So
just be home when the lights are down.
We still had that with millennials. Just get out, go outside, get out, go play.
But the problem is they've set it up where, and it's as with many things, it's not like I enjoy this and everybody can go, well, you do you, boo, and I'll do me. It's like, this is better. Look, my children are happier than your children. My husband's happier than your children. But meanwhile,
wait, my husband's happier than your children?
Yeah, that too.
Okay.
My husband's happier than your husband. Is that better?
Thank you.
Okay.
It was a little bit off balance. Listen, I was like,
my husband is going to be happier than the children because he doesn't have to do a damn thing. I probably will make the kids do some chores so I can teach them the value. But the husband doesn't have to
only
do a damn fucking thing.
Only the girls.
You know, I saw another TikTok about somebody was showing off her golden retriever husband. And the comments were very interesting. You ran the gamut from, oh, I need a golden retriever husband, to my husband's a husky. Very dramatic.
I like that.
You know, or I'm married to a Doberman or whatever. To the other half going, we just call that dad.
Which one? The golden retriever?
Yeah. Like, well, meaning that what he's doing, she's showing him they're on an airplane. And it's one of those 3-in-3 seats.
Yes.
And they've got 3 kids, one who's young enough to be on a lap or something. So dad was sitting on one side in the middle seat with the child on each side of him and the third one on his legs. And he's entertaining them for the flight. Mom gets to sit by herself on the other side. And she's like, look, he wanted to do this. Isn't this great? He's a golden retriever husband, daddy. And a lot of people are like, we just call that dad. He's taking care of his children, which, oh, I don't know. He's supposed to fucking do because he's one of the parents. Like, it's nothing special.
Well, it shouldn't be.
No different than when we say the dad's babysitting.
Ew.
As if it's not his responsibility, too.
Ew.
He was there when these children were made. I hope. I was going to say, not necessarily if it's IVF.
Well, he had a part in it. As somebody who did IVF, trust me.
Well, I didn't say he didn't have a part in it, but actually technically the children are made in the lab.
Technically, I wasn't there either.
Right. I'm not disagreeing with you.
Hey, you know what the best part about that was? I got sedated when they put it in.
Now I got the song, Let's Be Sedated. God, this is, sorry, folks. We are so fucking exhausted.
We're slap happy as fuck right now.
Nobody slap me. I'm not happy.
You want me to? Get through this episode without keeling over and I'll slap you, okay?
Yeah, I can do that. I have so much to do later today. I think for me, I love the concept of a 1950s housewife. Not that I want to be one. I just would like to have one.
Yes.
Like, I would like a submissive who would be my 1950s housewife.
And I'll play along sometimes and join in and I'll take care of stuff. But yes, I would like my own wife, please. My mother, all the time when I was growing up, I need a wife. Yes, mom. Yes, you do.
Yeah. I find it very funny and interesting that these mostly white evangelical women who would probably clutch their pearls in dismay at kink.
In general.
And kink in general are actually participating in a kink.
That's the part that, like, I cannot deal with. Because so the biggest problem I have ever had with any religion is, let's face it, mostly Christianity. Stop fucking trying to get other people to do your thing. I hate the fact that it's permeated society. It's, to me, this is why we have so many goddamn incels right now and this whole shit with spreading all over social media and all over the internet about, like, this is how women should be, but I can't get one. Well, stop being ugly and disgusting, first of all. And then you have, it's permeated politics. Holy fucking shit, can I not say this enough? It has no fucking business being a part of politics. And once you get to the point where you are literally saying, this is the law because it's in the Bible wasn't even written correctly.
The Bible, folks, is just a bunch of men taking what they were told and writing it down. If you've hung, and I
and
don't
care. All it is the sequel to the Jewish book.
Right? But it's all, well,
the New Testament.
The Old Testament
is the
original. Right.
And here, this is really going to piss people off. You ready?
I'm ready.
I can't wait to do this part.
Send all hate mail to Dara.
So I do writing stuff, right? I write. I like literature. I like books. I studied it. That's part of my degree. And did you know that the definition of mythology is it has gods in it? Except when you, because right now we'll say Greek mythology, right? That's the one everybody knows?
Yeah.
Hindu mythology, because there's gods in it and there's multiple ones, right? Guess what?
What?
Christian mythology. because there's a God in it.
Listen, it's just, the Bible's just a fucking game of telephone.
Yeah, but 500 years worth of telephone.
And it's still man's interpretation.
Did you know? Did you know that there is an actual Gospel of Mary Magdalene?
No, I don't pay any attention to any
of that. Yeah, no, I've been following that shit, and it's like resurfaced, and there's another one. It's there's a Gospel of Judas too.
Ooh,
yeah, I kind of want to get my hands on these,
just for funsies.
Just for funsies, because I have to know why.
Do you?
Yeah, if I were gonna have a time machine, guess what time period I would go back to just to like prove everybody wrong.
I don't know.
The dinosaurs, clearly. Anyway, continue.
Okay. I don't want to rain on anybody's parade if this is what you're into from a kink standpoint, and you are smart enough and aware enough to acknowledge and recognize it as a kink.
Hell yes. Go for it. Do it. I do it. Honestly, this is going to sound really terrible when I say this, but I love the brainlessness of it. It gives me a break. It gives me a brain break. I don't have to make the decisions. That's the part that I like.
You know, every brain needs a break every now and then.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. I appreciate your brain needing a break. Listen, this has never been something that I've personally been into just because... that would mean letting go of control. And we all know that that's not exactly my area of expertise.
Nah. Nope.
I go back to the fact that it's become a vanilla thing when really it is a kinky thing. And the difference to me is that those who describe what they do as a 1950s household recognize that it's a kink. And that it required their consent. They can revoke it at any time. And they don't necessarily think that their kink is better than any other kink. It's just their kink. And then the exact same thing out in the vanilla world, we call a trad wife.
Which doesn't necessarily have the components of kink. That's the biggest problem. Which makes it borderline abusive. It may not have the consent, which is the basis of kink. So if it doesn't have consent and you're not having, now there's people who choose to do it. That's fine. And who are not kinky. That's fine. Just recognize and understand that what you're doing is kinky.
So how would you say if you wanted them to go about doing it the right way, per se?
Are we talking you're being a trad wife without the kink aspects, but you have.
No, if you wanted to do it as a kink.
Oh, negotiate, get consent, write down what you will and won't do. So, for example, laundry would probably be not a punishment, it's a necessity, but I will not do my husband's laundry. Like, that's not something I will have as a part of my 1950s housewife kink. I will, however, have making bread from scratch. I make pasta from scratch, for fuck's sake. So the cooking aspect, I love. I make the dog's meals from scratch, for fuck's sake, okay?
Oh my God, spoil the rotten puppies.
It's healthier for them. And I get compliments all the time on how good they look, their build, their coats, everything.
They are pretty. They are pretty puppies.
So the vet has even said, whatever you're doing, keep doing it because you're doing it right. And I was like, okay, cool. So I keep doing it. But I could do this. Okay, so for example, my cousin is a stay-at-home mom / housewife.
Mm-hmm.
She has always been since they got married. The woman has not worked a day in her life. And she's younger than me. So that's what I do. But she's amazing at it. She cleans like a fiend. She cooks really well. I cook better. Sorry.
Ooh.
Yeah. No. Well, she's my cousin. I can say it. She doesn't even listen. So it's whatever. And now they have a baby. So she does all of that. The woman went to an
We knew what you meant.
Sorry. She took, I'm just going to say her scene name. It's Brooklyn. So Brooklyn took her baby to grandma's house so that grandma could watch the baby while she got her nails done. And this was just maybe 6 months after the baby was born, grandma probably was like excited about the
opportunity.
No, there's two sets of grandmas in this that are just beyond excited to be all over this baby. But you want to know what husband did?
What did husband do?
Stayed home, played video games.
Well, yeah.
So, like, he can't stay home and watch the baby while she goes and gets her nails done?
He's got better things to do than babysit.
Clearly. But that, to me, that's the trad wife situation, right?
Yep.
He goes to work. That's pretty much all he does. He comes home. He relaxes. He has to take time to take an hour to 3 hours every night to relax and decompress, right?
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, she's cleaned the house. She's taken care of the dogs. She's prepped the meals. She's fed the baby. She's taken care of the baby all day, and she's still going.
I'm exhausted.
I would die. If that were actually my life, I would die. She loves it.
Listen, if she's happy, I say go for it.
My aunt did the same thing, except she was more the socialite part of that. So again, and now she's basically a caregiver of my grandmother. So like, again, that's their choice. It's not kinky for them, but they thrived in it and they will continue probably to do so. So that's fine. My cousin is not pushing this lifestyle on me. Never has.
Mm-hmm.
My cousin knows that I would be bored to fucking death. And my other cousin is very much into her career and probably will also choose not to have children. She's still kind of on the fence about it.
Don't do it. It's a trap. Well, sorry.
But like, here's the thing. She comes home from her very demanding job and her boyfriend who lives with her now does not have a very demanding job.
Mm-hmm.
She comes home every week and he has feng shui'd the house in a different way. And she's like, I don't know where anything is, God damn it, but it makes him happy. So I will just learn where the shit is now. So like three very different dynamics going on here. Not a single person in any of these dynamics has ever said, you should do this. My way is better. And that's how it should be. Anyway, that's my little mini rant.
That was good.
That's a longer rant.
You know, I'm really starting to understand why you like it when I do this, because I can just totally relax and sit back.
Brain break.
Yes.
I need them.
I really am starting to understand why you do this.
Well, then you can be my trad wife.
Oh, there you go.
Wait a minute. No, I'm usually your trad wife. Usually, I just sit here and do what I'm told.
Pretty much.
Do you got anything you want to wrap up with?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I think this was fun. I need to come up with some more episodes where you have opinions.
That was a pretty strong opinion. Yeah.
It was a very strong opinion.
I just slurred the shit out of that. I am so tired.
Oh, I just realized.
Yes.
You did all that without even being on your soapbox. Right. Oh, maybe I just blinked and missed you being on the soapbox.
I didn't say this is my soapbox.
You didn't make a big announcement.
I don't need to be you and like just explain, but I can say, the part where I said, can I start now on my little kerfuffle rant? That's my soapbox.
Oh, yeah. See, I need to tell people because otherwise, like all of a sudden, they're just kind of like, why are you so tall?
Okay, I'm going to do it again. Here's my soapbox. It is very small. The amount of things I'm going to say, the soapbox is tall, but the things I'm going to say is short. Okay. Soapbox. The trad wife thing is a kink. Done.
Dun, da, da, da.
Mic drop.
Okay. Well, then we should end right there, don't you think?
I'm done. That's it.
Thanks for hanging out with us today. If you enjoyed what you heard, make sure to subscribe so you don't miss a minute of our fun and educational content. New episodes drop every Friday.
If you love what we do and want to show support, there are several ways. Join us on Patreon at patreon.com/pinkkinkpodcast. You can support our affiliates or help spread the word about our kinky podcast to your friends.
Don't forget to rate and review Pink Kink on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Those 5-star reviews go a long way in boosting our podcast through the algorithm and reaching more listeners.
Sign up for our Pink Kink Institute classes. Shop at our Etsy shop, Pink Kink Boutique. Stay connected with us on social media. You'll find all the links on our link tree posted in the show notes.
Your support means the world to us. So until next time, stay pretty, stay safe,
and stay twisted.